This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Good evening, everyone. If you're with us live, welcome to the show. We're going to be talking tonight regarding the disappointing defeat, having the final word on that defeat to Brentford. We'll also be touching base a little bit on Wolves women going out of the FA Cup, or what a performance they put in. We will, of course, have the quiz at the end, and we'll be chewing the fat with everything else in between. Before I get started, I do want to say, as always, a massive big thank you to Creation Wolf, local digital company who power Extra Time. They deliver the industry's latest and most advanced digital solutions. So if you've got a company or a brand, they'll take your online presence and digital capability to the next level. You can find them on www.creationwolf.com. The link is in the description below. And yes, we're going to get stuck in. We've got some great guests tonight. We're doing it in one take tonight. There's no second half. So before we get started, we have, by popular demand, coming back today, we have Chelsea. How are you doing?
Hello, Dave. You okay?
Yes, yes, yes. Chelsea, first of all, great to have you back again. Thank you for joining us tonight. Much appreciated.
Good to see you as well.
And also, I want to say what a fantastic job you did standing in for me on the United stand the other day. They only have over 1.6 million subscribers, and you did it live. You did Always Wolves very, very proud. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. It was lovely. Thank you.
You're welcome. We've also got returning tonight one of our young guns. It is Lucas. How you doing, mate?
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, great to have you back. How's your weekend been?
It's gone all right. Just disappointed on Saturday, but everything else gone okay. How about you?
Yeah, exactly the same, mate. We're going to get stuck into that, I'm sure. And we have the Lord himself, who's made a return. Looking around, if you're watching it on live on YouTube or watching it back on YouTube, or if you're listening to it on the podcast when we put it out, it is, of course, Lord Jason Guy, wearing one of the most Marmite kits you could ever ask for. I never really quite took to that kit, I've got to be honest.
Do you know what, Dave? I like this, and I bought it off eBay the other day. I got it for 40 quid, and I'm well pleased with it because I didn't get one when they first come out. And you're quite right, there was Marmite, but I quite like it, and I think it fits my svelte physique lovely.
You want to just, for those of you that aren't watching live and listening to the podcast, can you describe the actual, which kit it is?
It's the one that looks like the sky. It's got the white arms and it's got the blue and white, the Adidas one, with the big thick blue collar.
It looks to me, like that kit was designed in bits. It's like about three kits, like the top of one kit and then the bottom of another kit stuck on it.
There is that. I'd have preferred all this all over it, to be fair. But if you want me to, I can take it off and do it bare-chested. It's your call.
No, I think we'll pass that because what we don't want to do is scare all those that are watching live away. And, you know,
there's a watershed.
We haven't passed 9 o'clock yet, so we have to be careful, don't we? Carl's saying Lucas has some background noise. I'm just going to see whether I can again go on and sort that out, ultimately reduce my background noise. So I've just set that on for you now. So, Carl, let us know if that has helped. We've got Leo here who is saying good morning to all of us. And it is like after 8 o'clock from Australia.
Good morning.
Does it not amaze you? Good day. Does it not amaze you when we do these things that you have people watching from all over the world live? So what we want to do, guys, in the chat, if you're here live, first of all, smash a like on the video whilst we're live. Let YouTube know that you're enjoying it.
Enjoying it.
I even got a little. I even got a thumbs up then when it came up. But secondly, let us know where in the world you're watching tonight. Right, before we get on further, we do need to say, and I do want to say a massive, big, well done to Macca and all the girls from the Wolves women team, because I went yesterday and they held a full time WSL side in Brighton. It was 1-1 going into the 80th minute after coming from a goal behind. An incredible effort. They got a late goal. Wolves then pushed forward to try and get the equaliser, and they got stung a couple of times at the end. But like, I'm sure everyone here would certainly like, because Macca came on last week, would certainly like to say how proud we are of them. And is that correct, guys?
So moving in the right direction for them. They should be really proud of themselves.
Absolutely. Lucas?
Yeah, I haven't watched the Wolves women a lot this season, but I watched yesterday or listened, and it sounded so interesting and like crazy that they did so well against their WSL squad.
And Jason?
It's brilliant, Dave. I mean, you can see the traction now that it's all getting on social media. I interviewed Daniel McNamara, probably about 18 months ago. And the commitment he puts into that job is fantastic. So I just hope they go from strength to strength. There's so many people putting so much time and effort into it. I just hope, though, that the club back it financially, because it really does need it now to take it to the next level.
They do. I don't know if you've had a chance to actually watch last week's episode, guys, but Macca did come on and was talked about the financial thing from the backing. And what he said was that they get a lot from the club in terms of the facilities and, you know, what they can do. And, you know, as they move through the levels, as long as the ambition matches his, he will continue to lead the team. So it was quite an interesting. If you've not watched last week's Extra Time, he was on very early. It's worth watching that. It's about a 20-minute segment, and he talks very openly about the financial side of the women's game. And I will also mention, because I did interview Macca straight after the game. They do have another big match next Sunday against the West Birmingham Baggy Birds for a place in the County Cup final. So try and get to that if you can. Chelsea, moving on to the game against Brentford.
Yes.
We were all the week before so happy. I mean, such a happy pattern. Sutty was happy, cheerful, Chris was kind of cheerful, you know. Mm-hmm. And then it's so Wolves, isn't it? We play Brentford and we go and lose 2-0 to Brentford. I mean, how do you sum that up?
I think the game, one could be just fatigue of playing the same team over and over again. It felt like for nearly a month straight. And I think we're going to know the team inside and out, both teams are. But I think for Wolves, they had a really slow start and it didn't help them at all. And it allowed Brentford to feel like they could try and get on the front foot. And I think losing Cunha was a massive disappointment for the team. Once he came off, you could see the impact that he had, not just offensively, but defensively as well. And I think we really missed him in the game. And I think Brentford just had us on the night and scored at the right times. And Wolves just weren't as fast as they should have been off the block compared to what they were to Chelsea. But if you go back to the Manchester United game, Wolves were slow out of the blocks again at home. And I think it's we're not being as fast as we should be at the start. I think setting the tone, and I think that would have set us up much better. And it was one of those performances where you're kind of waiting for a poor performance to come up, but we weren't really ready for it. And hopefully we can just move on from this one and just, yeah, move forward for a much better game next.
Absolutely. I mean, Jason, Chelsea does hit on a very significant point in that although we're having a great season and we're really happy with where we are and,
yep.
you know, 32 points and it's great. And we've seen goals and football and stuff. There seems to be this Achilles heel that keeps recurring, and that is slow starts, conceding the first goal, and it's yeah. come back again.
That is a worry, Dave, and losing Cunha early, what Chelsea alluded to, is quite right, because he's a key member, and we've seen he's a player who's in real form at the minute. So to lose him at the stage we did, obviously did have a bearing on the game. I don't think we played that badly, and, you know, there's I put a similar comment on Twitter and, you know, got the usuals. Oh, we were crap. We were shit. He was watching a different game. But I've looked at these stats tonight for the first time. We had 72% possession as opposed to Brentford's 28%. And we had 651 passes in comparison to their 272. Now, that shows, obviously, we dominated the game in periods. If you look, in the middle of the park, we was passing the ball well, we was moving well, but I think what let us down was the defensive third and also the attacking third as well. I think that's where we lost the game, really. I think we were sloppy at the back, and I don't think we was decisive in the final third as we should have been. You know, like I said, percentage-wise, it speaks for itself, really, but goals win games, and we got let down by two sucker punches, really, on the basis that I think the first one, especially, was against the runner play. But then it was always going to be a difficult game to come back into.
When you actually think it was against the runner play the first half?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
to be honest, I mean, go on.
Sorry, Dave. People have said to me, "Oh, Brentford could have had four." Well, they didn't. They didn't.
Well, Wolves could have had six, but we didn't.
Yeah. Listen. It was going both ways. Admittedly, Brentford probably had more. They look better in front of goal. I'll put it that way, right? And they certainly look better than Wolves in front of goal. But I think Wolves, we've seen the possession. We was controlling that game in the midfield, but we was very, very sloppy at the back. And I think that let us down massively. And as soon as Brentford went for goal ahead, what did they do? They play the usual games, time wasting. The game management was pretty, you know, it was very good, to be fair, because they saw out the game and then scored that goal, Ivan Toney. And they only scored that because Ivan Toney had 8-1 on himself to score. But Dave, it's just one of them days. We're 11th in the league. We've just beat Chelsea. This is what annoys me.
In the league.
10th or 11th. We beat Chelsea, right?
Yeah.
And we didn't just beat Chelsea. We battered Chelsea.
We are 11th now. Yeah.
Yeah, we're 11th. So
Chelsea
beat tonight.
I don't know. So
we beat. I know Albion aren't much of an opposition, but we still beat. You can only beat what's in front of you. We beat Albion. We beat Chelsea. And then I've got people seeing them online saying, "Oh, I'm not too sure about Gary O'Neill." And then I've been arguing with this idiot who's going fousing out. Clearly doesn't understand how FFP works. And I said, "Who's going to buy us then? Where's this billionaire that's growing on trees who's just going to fork out loads of money?" "Oh, there's always someone to buy us." Do you know what? They don't know they're born. I think we're having a good season. If we, the start of the season, if we'd have said, come the middle of the end of February, we're going to be 11th in the league and still in the cup, Dave, we'd have took their hands off.
I do agree with you, of course, on all of this. And, super positive about...
But what, Dave? But what?
But there is a but, and I'm going to go to Lucas to get his opinion on this, because this is a really good, interesting debate. Absolutely, from where we are in the summer, for me, if we finish above 13th, and we have a good cup run, from everyone writing us off, that's real progress. And being able to not really invest in the team, that's massive progress and a stepping stone to great things. I think we're seeing a team that's united, that wants to play for each other. I think we've seen a team that likes each other as well now, that they're not batting against each other, that they're buying into what the manager says and all of that. I'm totally thinking. But like, Sutty would come on here and he would probably say, well, you know, we're in this sort of position. We should, why can't we get Europe? And whether or not we think that's a good or a bad thing for this season, we are within a shooting distance. And to be honest, Wolves have shown on form recently, our form since the turn of the year, it's sort of top four at form anyway. But to really be a top sort of six, seven team, you've got to put Brentford to bed. And
yeah,
I will disagree with you on one point when you say that the goal that Brentford scored in the first goal was against the second goal was against the run of play. The first goal, it was coming. It was coming for a very, very long time. We got lucky that
it was coming, though, but it could have gone either way. At that point, the game could have done the way we was controlling the possession in midfield. It could have gone either way. I understand that you know, I get what you're saying.
I don't think we had any control of the game for the first 15 minutes. We started to get back into the game. We never got out of our own half for the first 10 minutes. It was one way traffic. And this is the thing that Chelsea alludes to, and I think it's a problem, is that so many times we're starting too slow. When we go at teams, like when we've seen the opening match of the season against United, we set the tone for the game. Brentford set the tone for the game, and we fell into that trap and they scored. And Sarr, as much as he's a great stopper and I think he's a fantastic keeper and I love him, his ball distribution at times, at certain games, was poor.
He's really
played us into trouble a couple of times. How is he not claiming the ball for the corner when it's dropping into the middle of the six-yard box for the goal? What did Dawson do?
That's a free header. Dave, if you'd have conceded that goal in Sunday League in a school football match, you'd be going crazy.
He basically just fell on his head and dropped in the goal.
Under 9s and under 10s, you'd be going nuts, Dave, and that shouldn't be happening at this level.
Exactly. And this is the frustration we had, and Lucas, I'm going to come to you in just 30 seconds' time. We had the best record against set pieces in the league up until three games ago. And in three games in a row, we've conceded a goal from a corner against United. We conceded a goal from a corner against Chelsea and the worst goal from a corner against Brentford. And you give Brentford a one-goal lead, you know, when they're going to just use the dark arts. And, I agree on the balance of play and possession and shots. You know, we had a goal disallowed by a toenail. Had that gone in, it could have been a different case. We played brilliant in the second half. We played brilliant in the second half against Manchester United, but we've got to start these games better. It's no good giving any team in this division a goal start and thinking we'll give you a goal start, but that's okay. We're gonna win. Sooner or later, we're not gonna score at home, and unfortunately, we didn't. Lucas, you've heard what Jason said. A great punditry as always from Jason. You've heard what Chelsea said. What's your take on what Jason's had to say? Do you think it was against the run of play, or do you think it was coming at that start? And do you agree with Chelsea about the starts to games? Is it a problem?
I just think because we beat that in Chelsea, that we just thought it'd be another easy game. And we beat them 4-1 before Christmas, then beat them. So we probably thought that we beat them so many times, let's try beat them again. We'll sit back and just catch them, but they've done. Brentford copied us. They've caught us on a break, got a corner, and scored from the corner that Jose should have caught. But and Dawson with poor defending, he should have been closer with him. He just laid past him, and it had just come from the corner.
I mean, do you find it a little bit disappointing in terms of the way we've conceded both goals? Because the first goal, I mean, Gary O'Neill was very calm about it, to be honest, was absolutely appalling. That, you know, the defending for that, like Jason said, it's like Sunday League, under-10s. I can't understand how we've conceded that goal, because that should not happen. The guy's just... it's how you can not defend that when it's in the middle. What Sarr's on his line? Why isn't he taking command and controlling it? What? I just don't understand why all of a sudden we're conceding goals from corners and we're vulnerable from set pieces when we've been so good on it. And the Kuna situation with him going on, Wang, obviously, you know, he picks up an injury. You know, we miss Kuna, but we've still got enough firepower on the bench there. Do you think he should have changed and brought on Nathan Fraser sooner than Bellegarde? Because Nathan, he's our only real number nine. Bellegarde's not really. We had three small players on the pitch. He brings Fraser on at half time. We have a much better second half. You know, what's your thoughts on that?
I'm a huge fan of Nathan Fraser. When I saw Quinny go down, I was expecting him to bring on Nathan Fraser instead of Bellegarde, because, in my opinion, Bellegarde isn't suited at striker. I think he's better in centre mid when Neto's with him. Because I remember one game that sticks out for me is Liverpool, where we lost 3-1, and Bellegarde's debut. And them two just linking up. One was Bellegarde was always overlapping Neto. So I think if we needed a striker, it should have been Nathan Fraser instead of Bellegarde. I just don't think I see Bellegarde as a striker.
And is there any criticism from you in the fact that, you know, we've only got Nathan Fraser? We were talking about if an injury happens to Kuna or thingy like that. Is there any criticism there, or you just think, you know, we've got enough in the tank for this year, so it's a good opportunity for Fraser? He didn't let anyone down. I thought he played quite well when he came on. He put in a shift. He can hold the ball up. He was, you know, he's got a fair bit of quality as well. He was, you know, winning the ball. He was holding it up. For a young lad, he did as good as what he could. We've still got him, but, like, we have got a small squad, haven't we?
Yeah, I think it didn't help with Sasa and Palio both wanting game time over Cunha. I think if they evened it out with Gary liking Fabio, Sasa and Cunha, I think it would have been perfect. But now we've lost Fabio and Sasa, we've now just gone the one striker and Nathan Fraser, so it's a bit hard to decide. But we know that when Wang's back, we've got some more support up front. But it's just, I understand because of FFP, but we just need to find a striker that can put the ball in the back of the net.
Absolutely. And Chelsea, you've heard what Jason's points and stuff like that, which are very, very good points. Obviously, what we do need to do, there are fans that will have a meltdown, as Jason refers to. You lose a game at home and, like, the world's falling in. It's the world's ending. The manager's not good enough. Da, da, da. You've only got to lose one game or have a bad performance. What we have to put into context, it wasn't our best performance. I do agree with Jason to a point. I thought we did. You can't say they didn't have a lack of effort. And I think we did show a fair bit of quality. And, you know, for about a 30-minute period in the second half, we absolutely pummeled them. Mm. And then we made one mistake. And, you know, that's football. We see it happen all the time. You don't take your chances. You don't put the ball in the net. Eventually, that team's going to get upfield. If you make a mistake in the Premier League, you're going to get punished. And if the ball comes to Ivan Toney, you can bet your bottom dollar, like Jason said, he's gonna finish. He's a quality striker, and, you know, he will be playing in a much bigger team than Brentford next year. But, like, to put things into context, you know, we're sixth in the form table recently. It is a bad result, but you could have predicted it. As much as you could predict Wolves going and beating Chelsea after 44 years at Stamford Bridge, you could have probably predicted, in fact, Emma did, that we'll probably go and do a Wolves and lose to Brentford at home, because that's what Wolves do. And do you know what? We'll probably go to Tottenham at the weekend and we'll probably beat them, because that's probably what Wolves will do. But consistency is such a big key. So we have to put things into context. I mean, we didn't get to talk to you about the Chelsea win last year, but, like, the form of Wolves over the last month, 2 months, like, it's said there, the form is, on the whole, much better and entertaining.
I think overall, I think, like, 2 points is, one, football fans are fickle most of the time. They're really happy when it's going positive. You have one bad game and everyone kind of has a breakdown sometimes. And I say that in a joking way. And I think the Brentford game was just one of those where there are obvious things that we could slightly change and do better. We know we could have a quicker start. We know that even if you have 80% possession, it's what you do with it. If you've only got possession in the middle of the park and you're not scoring, our ability in the final third, our final touch in the final third weren't there. And there's something that we need to focus on. And that doesn't mean that we're criticising the whole month, but there's areas for us to improve. And that was a massive area. Neto, the last time he was playing, he was so positive, but his distribution at the end, it wasn't where it should be. And I think without Cunha, that had a massive impact on the team because Cunha is quite clinical, I would say. But with the Chelsea game, I think Wolves demonstrated what makes them a fantastic team when they're on it from the start. They were really positive and they went for it. And I think Wolves just need to keep that mentality for every game, especially home matches. That Manchester United game shocked me because I know that if Wolves had started on the front foot, we would have had a different game. And we gave Man United, in my opinion, confidence that they didn't have before the game because we allowed them to feel like they had control. But I think for Wolves, we should be really proud of how they've done, especially since Christmas. They've had a massive step forward. They've played really important games in the FA Cup. They've had big teams. They've got Chelsea twice. They've had Manchester United. They've got Spurs. They've got big games constantly. And I don't mean any disrespect for Brentford, but maybe that game, they just went off the gas a little bit because they've had such heightened games over the last couple of weeks. And I think maybe that had an impact. But yeah, for possession, I think having 80% possession doesn't mean you control the game. Because if you're not scoring and you're not clinical, you don't control the game. In my opinion, I think Lamina and Gomez were great in the middle at doing those interceptions, stopping Brentford from moving forward. But it's what you do with that possession. And that's something that we can improve on.
Well said. Absolutely well said. Jason, back to you.
No, great points. And it's right. You know, I was harboring on the 72-28 possession, but you're quite right, you know, it's goals that win games, and Chelsea is spot on in as much as they seemed with their possession to do a lot more than we did. You know, it was passing the ball a lot from side to side and keeping possession and retaining possession, but if we're not moving forward, the other thing is I think what we do lack, and this is why I am keen to see how Nathan Fraser develops, being as he's got a big stature, etc., is we are lacking a focal point in the box. Now I know Cunha against Chelsea, he was on fire. Obviously, one was a penalty. Is he a typical number nine centre forward? No, I don't think he is. Absolutely. So what we're trying to do, you can see now, we are getting more and more crosses into the box, but we do need a focal point there. And I think we are missing a target man. And I said, although Jota wasn't that sort of player, we've still, to this day, never really replaced that goal-scoring centre forward. And it's, yes, it's what every club wants, but now more than ever, because with the pace of Neto and the balls we are putting into the box, I just think we need someone desperately on the end of it. And this is why I'm hoping it could be Nathan Fraser, and we should be giving the youth a chance.
Yeah, I mean, Lucas, you said you're a big fan of Nathan. Can you explain to us why?
He just brings something to the game. Like yesterday, the game was so flat until the second half, but when Nathan Fraser come on, he was just getting the ball and passing it on to the wings. That's what a player should do. Win the ball back, pass it to the wings and make the run into the box, which Nathan Fraser was. I remember once, I think it was Neto passed it back to him, but Neto just put too much power on, so it went under his legs. But he's getting there. So I think if he gets more game time, he'll be getting to the point where he's understanding that Wolves need the number nine striker. And that we need to score goals. And I think he does understand that we need to score goals, but I think he just needs that more game time, especially with Santi Bueno as well. If them two have game time, I think they'll be excellent.
Yeah, Santi Bueno, you're talking about the centre-back?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jason, I want to go back to you on that one. Santiago Bueno, he's coming in a bit. Dawson, yep. We know that, and I'm going to then come to you, Chelsea. I'm going to switch it around the other way. Tottenham at the weekend, they have so much pace up front. Dawson, great player, didn't have a great game. Is there an argument for switching Dawson out and bringing Santiago Bueno in into the centre of defence against Tottenham?
For me, none whatsoever. On the basis that Craig Dawson, his experience in a game like against Spurs away, big stadium, big game, I can't see past Dawson and Kelman. I think Kelman's looking a much better player alongside Dawson. So I think Kelman and Bueno, Santiago Bueno not having the, you know, real experience in the Premier League at this stage, I think putting him out against Spurs would have been a big ask. If there was a game we should have played Santiago Bueno, should have been probably this Saturday. Yeah. So I certainly wouldn't be dropping Dawson, because if you start dropping players after one bad game, Dave, you're going to be changing three or four players every game, you know, or at least two or three. I listen, and also when he got the goal, when he gets forward, he's also very, very dangerous getting forward on set pieces. So I,
well, he did score that goal. I mean, I know he cocked up for the second goal. Yeah,
this is what winds me up, because when we played against West Brom, there was no VAR. None of us were questioning any decisions. The game flowed nicely, and then obviously we play against Brentford. Stop start. We that goal. I mean, we all thought it was the goal. We was all celebrating. And once again, he's been done by a toenail, and you just think it's just ruining the game. And they're on about, don't start me on this blue card crap.
Well, right, I was just a link there. I mean, I'm taking it that you're a big advocate for the blue card.
Anybody worth their salt that knows about football has already come out and said in the media that how it's going to affect the game for the world. Why keep changing the game? I understand some rules. Why they've come in, not VAR, but some rules why they've come in. I understand, you know, it does help the flow of the game, et cetera, et cetera. But this blue card thing is going to completely destroy the game, because it's just going to create time wasting, putting people behind the ball. I mean, but and even refs are saying, well, we've already got a system in place. A yellow card, you know, is a booking for an offence. And if they commit the same offence, they're going to get sent off. So we've already got this. So why do we need a blue card? But anyway, that's another story. So Santiago Bueno against Spurs, not for me now.
Chelsea, Santiago Bueno in for Dawson. And what do you think of the blue card?
For the first one, no, I'd keep the lineup the same. I think the Spurs game is a bit too big of a game, and I think it's too much responsibility. I think if Lamina and Gomez in front are working really hard and put the interceptions in, maybe you can bring them in. But absolutely, I think just because you have one off game doesn't mean you change the system. They play together, they know they're a team, they know their unit, and you shouldn't be chopping and changing, especially when you've got a big game. So if he has two or three bad games in a row, then consider it, but we shouldn't be changing the team. We've had one bad game and been playing really well. The blue card to me is ridiculous. We don't need it. I don't see the point of it. It seems like the blue card's been introduced because referees are losing control of the game because of VAR, and now they're bringing even much more subjectivity into the game. So what one person thinks is being rude is someone else's reaction. And to me, what makes football different from other sports is passion. And just because a player reacts doesn't mean they're being dissentful. What does dissentful mean? You can't have this much subjectivity in a game.
Well, last year, Lamina walking up to the ref to say, hello, sir, how are you? Was dissent because he got hard with the third person. It changes week to week.
Absolutely. And I think for certain teams, I don't want to suggest that there's favouritism. We can think that personally. Having a blue card to me seems dangerous for certain teams. Certain teams already have a little bit more preference with VAR decisions. And I think a blue card will make it even worse. And you can't tell me that a referee is not going to be impacted by a bigger team going up to them. And the blue card isn't going to solve a problem. The referees need to have more control of the game with what they've got in front of them now. If they're using the blue card, to me, it shows they have a lack of control. And if you're going to start taking 10 minutes out of a game, that's 10 minutes of defensive work. The game's gone. So the actual flow of the game's going to slow down. It's not going to be beneficial for the league, they might as well start making it into ice hockey, where you have the 10-minute game and everyone's going straight into the attacking board. It's not going to work. I don't like this Americanization of the game. Keep the blue card out of it. The yellow and red is clear enough, and keep how it is. It's not going to be beneficial.
At some point, right, we're going to be leaving games at 5:30 on a Saturday because we've had to wait for decisions. And they wonder why players are tired, because they're out on the pitch longer than they've ever been out there.
Well, sometimes the decisions take that long. They have to get the cones out again to warm up. It's ridiculous.
Even you're at the game, though, we didn't even know at home what was going on. And we were thinking, why was this one checked? But why isn't this Wolves one checked? That's enough subjectivity.
The absolute inconsistency of it all, which VAR was brought in to stop, and it just made it a lot worse. So why they're tinkering about with it now with this blue card system is absolutely beyond me.
I know.
The referees use two yellow cards randomly at the same player. They don't need a blue card. They're going to get confused. There's too many cards. They're going to forget to bring them out, let alone that.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Righto. Lucas, same question to you about Santiago, Bueno and Dawson, to get your take on it. If Sutty was on here, Sutty would very strongly suggest that Santiago Bueno should start, because he worries that Dawson is going to get caught out on that big pitch at Tottenham. But Jason quite rightly does argue that, you know, he's got experience, he's played there, he's all about position and stuff. But he did have a bad game. And obviously, what would be interesting as a younger, fan as well, the blue card thing, what's your take on that as well? So Santiago Bueno for Dawson and the blue card, your thoughts?
I think I would start Santi Bueno over Dawson because of how quick they have their strikers, as they have Richarlison, they would have Son starting, they would have Werner. They have too much pace for Dawson. I understand about the experience, but it's too much pace for him because then it would go to basically a 4-4-2 because Dawson would get took out of position and it would just be Semedo, Kilman and Totti and Aitnori if Aitnori starts. And I think with this sin bin, I think it's stupid because if a goalkeeper gets sent off, they have to get substitutions off that I read today. So you've got Jose got sin binned. They would have an outfield player put in goal. So no Dan Bentley getting put in goal. So I just think it's due because then the goalkeepers are just going to time waste and there's going to be more added time. And then it's going to be stupid and it's just lost control for referees because if they don't think it's worthy of a yellow card, they shouldn't be given a yellow. It should just be a talking to.
Well said. Yeah, so I mean, that's something that's definitely going to roll on. I think it'll be very interesting to see the team that he does pick for Tottenham at the weekend. I've had a really good chat today with my good friend, Tottenham fan, Chris Cowling. He's got a fantastic Tottenham channel. I've done an interview with him, which will go out on the channel on Wednesday. But part of the thing that he was talking about is that Ange Popsicle, I call him Popsicle just for a laugh, Popsicle because of his name, but Ange Ball, he was saying that Ange doesn't change the way that Tottenham play no matter what. He sticks to the system. He plays the same way, very front foot. And I think it's a game before we get on to the performance rate and all that for the thing, I think it's an interesting one of styles, because we know that Gary O'Neill will tweak and loves to know how the opposition are going to play, because he loves to come up with a plan to beat it. And without doubt, he knows exactly how Tottenham are going to set up, exactly how they're going to play. So it's, I think it's going to be an interesting game, this one against Tottenham at the weekend, on how we play against Tottenham. Now, we have this same problem with Wolves over the last 2 or 3 years, breaking a team down that sits back against us. And that's the teams we always like. Sheffield United, we lost. Huddersfield twice. We see it all the time, don't we, with, you know, Brentford. But a team like Tottenham, a team like Chelsea, a team like United and stuff like that, they are more confident in their ability to score goals, that they open up. And then that creates problems for the opposition, because we can exploit that space, as we did superbly well against Chelsea. So I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, the midfield as well, Jason. I mean, how would you approach this game against Tottenham at the weekend?
I think Lamina and Gomez have been brilliant. And, you know, I've said this before and I'll say it now, that I don't think we've really missed Neves in terms of how these guys have stepped up and stepped in and seem to be playing for Gary O'Neill. Gary O'Neill is giving them so much belief at the minute. I still think we maybe lack that attacking midfielder, one that likes to break forward and, you know, break through the middle and score goals. But I think they're doing an unbelievable job. So I'd definitely stick with them two in the middle of the park. And with the attacking wing-backs as well, in Semedo and Aitnori. Once again, Aitnori, he was wrote off by Lopetegui, and he's done an unbelievable job. And he's one we've really got to really work
hard. He's fantastic. The only thing that let him down at the weekend was his crossing. He just over-egged the crosses a couple of times. But if he gets that right, it's fantastic.
I agree 100%. You know, his distribution actually wasn't great at the weekend, but what a player he is when he breaks forward. He's exciting to watch. The way he brings other players into play. One player that does disappoint me now and again, and I don't want to like single or neg a player out, but Totti can sometimes be very one-footed for me. And you've seen so many times in the last game when Dawson didn't feel too confident in passing to him, where he'd gone to look and then he'd gone the other way pretty much every time. I don't mean to single him out, because he's been a good player. He's just earned a five-year deal, but he's one at the back for me, which I do worry about. I'm more worried with Totti than I am with Dawson.
Interesting. Lucas, midfield, because obviously Joe Gomez, great player. He won the ball back to help create a goal against Chelsea. But I do think it's been a bit harsh on Tommy Doyle, personally, who's, I think, been probably our best player whilst Gomez was out. I mean, what's your take on the midfield? Because the thing I like about Tommy Doyle is that he's always looking for a forward pass all the time. He's looking to move it forward quickly all the time. He rarely loses the ball, where Joe Gomez is more of a ball-winning midfielder, where, you know, what's your take for the weekend?
I'd keep the midfield the same. Aitnori, Semedo, Lamina and Gomez. I'd keep that midfield, because then if we're getting destroyed by Tottenham, we can bring Tommy Doyle on to do some through balls to beat Spurs' high line with our quick strikers. So if we are getting beat, we can just bring him on and just do some through balls, and we can try and get some goals, but depending on how many goals we are losing by.
Well, yeah, see, Lucas, I'd say that's kind of reactive. You know, I mean, fair point, but do you not want to have Tommy Doyle on from the start to take advantage of that high line with the through balls and actually take the lead and get in front and take the game away from Tottenham? Because that comes back to us being behind again and trying to play catch-up, which is something that's a problem. You know, we want to get in front, take the lead, take the game away. Is there an argument to play all three, Lamina, Gomez and Tommy Doyle, in a system against Tottenham?
I think playing the three would be difficult, because then one of the strikers would have to miss out, which would be Cunha, Wang or Neto or even Sarabia. So either them four would have to miss out, unless you put one in for Dawson, if you do want to drop Dawson. But I would just bring, if we are losing, we can bring Tommy Doyle on. He is that option. But like you said, if you would like to put the game early on, I think we have the players to do it against their high line, because I think their fullbacks at the minute is Porro and I can't remember the other one. I don't think, I think Neto's quicker than both of them. So if Neto keeps changing sides like sometimes he does, I think we'll be putting it 2 or 3-0 away if we do want to play that way.
Interesting. Chelsea, your thoughts on that before we move on?
For me, I would keep it the same, because on a personal note, Doyle, watching the last two games, I know we say that he's forward thinking, but the last few, I've seen him doing it more sideways and not being as positive as he could be. And I think maybe because he's coming on, I don't think Doyle's an impact sub. He shouldn't be coming on mid-game, whereas Gomez could. So I think if you're going to play Doyle, I'd start with him so he can set the tone of the game, try and be at the creative player. But I don't think when he came on the other game against Brentford, he had a positive impact. Because I know he had a bit of a bad game. He had a poor game with some shots going and maybe it was just an off one. But I don't think Doyle's right to bring on halfway. I think Lamina or Gomez can intercept. So I think having one of them by Doyle complementing quite well. But I would start with Doyle, not bring him on, because I don't think that Ben helped Wolves at all. And I think he put us on the back foot. Because after Ivan Toney scored, we didn't look like we were going to score again. We looked deflated. And I think that was represented in the midfield, and especially Doyle. It was a lot backwards. It was a lot side to side. I don't think he pushed the team forward. That's my opinion. I don't think he's as forward thinking as some people do think he is.
Very good points raised at all. The one thing that is interesting is that I think our front three is Kuna, Wang and Neto. And we do see Gary O'Neill does seem to be very unlucky that he can't seem to play our first three. Neto out injured. Okay, Neto's come back. Wang's gone to the Asia Cup. Wang's come back. And then Kuhn has now got injured. I don't know if anyone's heard anything on Kuhn on the injury front. Don't know if you've heard anything, Lucas.
No, I haven't heard anything, no.
We haven't really. The club haven't said yet. So, I mean, he went off. They're hoping it's not too serious. If it is a hamstring, even if it's a minor one, it could still be out for a little while. So, you know, he carried on a little bit after he pulled up. But I do feel it's such a shame because, like, we just can't seem to get Kuna, Wang and Neto on the pitch at the same time, can we, Jason?
No, you're quite right, Dave. And they all obviously offer so much moving forward. And that's a great point you made about Tommy Doyle, because does he really deserve to be left out? No, he doesn't. But it just shows the strength of Lamina and Gomez. And it's a nice problem for Gary O'Neill to have. But Tommy Doyle is probably that attacking midfielder as well. You know, he's the one that likes to get forward. But yeah, Cunha, Neto and Huang, there is going to be a point where they're all going to be playing. They're all going to be on form, Dave.
Yeah, absolutely. Jason, whilst I've got you very, very quickly, yep, your man of the match for the weekend, your performance rating and your highlight of the day before we get on to the quiz.
Although I've bleated on about the possession, it still wasn't a great. I didn't think we played badly, like I said, but we let ourselves down. So for that, I'm going to give it 6.5 out of 10. Player of the match for me, Gomez. I just thought he was brilliant. You know, he looks for me better and better every game. You know, the fact we're not missing, like I said, Neves in midfield, we've got Gomez is huge. Highlight of the match, obviously there wasn't much to pick from. So what I will go for is Nathan Fraser, because it's always nice to see a young homegrown player coming through. So let's just hope he starts scoring some goals and getting better and stronger.
Fantastic. Same to you, Lucas.
I think performance rating 5.5 out of 10. Just for the first half, just slacked it a bit. I think man of the match, João Gomez. I think performance of the day. No, I've lost my word.
Highlight.
Highlight of the day. It's seeing Nathan Fraser come on, so same as Jason.
And to you, Chelsea.
I agree with the boys. I think 5.5 is fair. I think the second half demonstrated Wolves being a lot more positive, but the first half kind of let them down a little bit. I think for me, I think we're going for kind of a similar thread of the midfield, but I was really impressed with Lamina again. He really sets the tone and his interceptions are really important. I think can go head-to-head with Gomez. I think for my highlight, of course, seeing Fraser's brilliant, but to go and try and be a bit different with my choice. I think I would say seeing Neto back and being really positive and not feeling like he's going to get injured again. He's starting to find his foot, he's finding his pace, his creativity is coming back. And I'm sure that his clinical aspect of his game will come with more games that he plays. But I'm just so happy seeing Neto back in the team, because when we don't have Cunha and Neto, it's really hard to deal with. But I think as long as we have one of them, then we can be a bit more positive moving forward. So just keep fingers crossed that Neto remains fit.
Absolutely well said. So guys, this is the opportunity for you guys in the chat. If you've got a question directly for the Lord Wolves Premier himself, Jason, Lucas,
not me. Excuse the others. Pick on the others.
Any direct questions for the thing? You've got the next couple of minutes to do that before we get on the quiz. But whilst we wait for any questions that you might have, score prediction for Tottenham at the weekend, Jason?
4-0 Spurs. Spurs win. Batter us. No. I'm going to go for... It's going to be a difficult game, isn't it, Dave? So, do I want to back against Wolves? Not really, but I think it's going to be 2-1 Spurs. They are a good team, aren't they? And that Ange Popsicle man, as you call him.
I just call him Ange Popsicle because
he's really got on playing, hasn't he, Dave? And they're all playing for him. And yeah, I don't want Wolves to lose, but I've got to be realistic as well. Spurs are a good team, and I don't want there to be a massive meltdown on Twitter. So open your phone and like people are like suicidal because we've lost to Spurs. You know, one of the best teams in the country, and they're just like going crazy and putting stupid things. Just, you know, if it affects you that bad, put your phone down. Next.
You've told them, Jason. Lucas.
I have to go 2-1 Wolves.
Explain the reason behind that.
I just feel like I have a good feeling that we're going to take our chances, and I feel like it'll come from another set piece from Spurs that we're going to concede. I just feel like we'll be taking our we'll take our chances.
Fantastic. And Chelsea?
I agree with Lucas. I think 2-1's fair. I think compared to the Brentford game, where they could kind of sit back a bit more, Spurs are a very confident team and they're going to push forward, which is going to leave more gaps. And I think Wolves are going to be more proactive in that one. And I think we've got a lot of pace. I mean, yes, Spurs have a lot of pace, but I think Wolves aren't doing too bad there. So I think 2-1 positive. I'll take a draw, but 2-1, let's be positive for Wolves.
I like it. Bobby Smith has a question for Jason. Apart from Paul Doherty, which other two players have played with both Hibbett and Ball, is asking. This okay. isn't part of the penalty shootout quiz, but, you know.
Now, I am going to say, Andy Mutch and Jeff Palmer.
Let us know, Bobby, if the answer to that is correct. Ashley Johnson wants to know, does any of you guys think the fans were a bit flat with the players on Saturday? Do we need to take a look at us apart from other performance affected the fans? Quite an unusual.
I think maybe the way we started the game, I think maybe the proactiveness of the players kind of reflected on the fans a little bit. I think Wolves fans are always really good, but I think how the players play on the pitch sometimes can affect the fans' reaction. But no, I think Wolves fans are always really good on the whole.
Sorry to interrupt. Barry Powell's one of them. Barry Powell's one of them. Barry Powell and Jeff Palmer. Sorry. Carry on.
Barry Powell and Kreshwa. Yeah, no, I think we've talked about this. I think the fans have been magnificent this year, you know, home and away for Wolves. And, it's, you know, since we started playing more attacking football and not going side to side and seeing ball fests and stuff like that. And, you know, I do think, though, if the team starts flat, it does affect the fans nervously because you can see it and you're like, oh, my God, passes go astray. It's hard to get them. But the Wolves fans did react to lift the team And especially in the second half, we were incredibly loud when we were on the front foot. So, yeah, I mean, Sutty's not very confident. Look, he's going for a 3-0. I feel we'll get rinsed for pace. He hopes he's completely wrong. Bobby Smith says the answer is Barry Powell and Wayne Clark came back on loan for one game.
It was in 1994 against Southend away, and Wayne Clark started, and he was on loan to us from Man City, and he punctured his lung after 20 minutes.
Yeah, 19 minutes.
There you go.
There we go. So,
well done, Bobby. Good question, that.
Very good question. So, ladies get to choose first. Did Chelsea, for the penalty shootout, do you want to go first, second or third?
First.
Lucas, second or third?
I'll go third.
So, can I go second, Dave, please?
I'll tell you what, Jason. Yes, you can.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Glad I got to choose.
Chelsea, this is all about debuts. All right. The penalty, you put the ball down. In which Wolves player scored a hat-trick on his home debut in 1967? I'm sure you'll remember this one.
Give it a chance, Dave.
I know. Was it Derek Dugan, Mike Bailey, Kenny Hibbitt or Dave Wagstaff?
I mean...
You're going to go what, A?
I mean...
That all right, okay.
Rolling head thinking. Could I please hear the options one more time?
Yes, you can.
Thank you.
A, no, Derek the Duke Dugan. B, Mike Bailey. C, Kenny Hibbitt. Or D, Dave Wagstaff. Derek Dugan, Mike Bailey, Kenny Hibbitt, or Dave Wagstaff.
I honestly do not know. This is complete and utter guess. I'm going to go for Wagstaff. That's my guess.
You're going for Dave Wagstaff, but you've hit it over the stand. It's Derek Dugan. But never mind. Come on, Jason.
Give me an easy one.
Which two players played with both Steve Ball and... No, it's not. make sure you're smashing these likes, guys. Make sure you're smashing these likes. So, in which year did Derek Parkin, Wolves' most capped player, make his debut for the club? Was it 1967, 68, 69 or 70?
I'm going to go for 69.
You're going for 69?
Yeah.
Is that what you're going for?
Yeah.
Is that your final answer?
No. Yeah, it is. Actually, no, 68.
I'm sorry, I've taken your final answer. It is actually 1968, but you did give me 69. So, unfortunately, I did say, and I put the reaction on, so it does not count. You've hit the post. VAR has said the ball has not gone over the line. I'm sorry. So, unfortunately, no. Lucas, which Wolves player scored on his debut in September 1979 against a club he would eventually move to after leaving Wolves 4 years later? Was it Emily News, Mel Eves, Andy Gray or Willie Carr? Emily News, Mel Eves, Andy Gray or Willie Carr?
Yeah. Andy Gray.
You're going for Andy Gray?
Yeah.
Is your granddad in the background?
Yes.
Is your granddad sitting the other side of your computer, Lucas?
Correct answer. So
Lucas's answer is going to VAR because his granddad's in the room.
Lucas. Jim's not there, is he?
Not
today. No. Okay. So that's correct. Lucas, you've got one out of three. So back to you, Chelsea. Steve Ball scored on his England debut in May 1989 against which team? Was it Wales, Scotland, Ireland or Tunisia?
Can you read that question again for me, please?
Steve Ball scored on his England debut in May 1989 against which team? Was it Wales, Scotland, Ireland or Tunisia?
Scotland.
You're going with Scotland?
Yeah. Is that
well
positive?
Done. You got it right. Fantastic.
Like, I feel the pressure.
It was a great goal because he literally one touch, brought it down, second touch, bang, back of the net. Fantastic. Right, Jason.
Here we go.
To get on the ball.
In the 1932-33 season.
How did you know? Now, in what year did Mike Stowell, Wolves' most capped player, make his most capped goalkeeper make his debut for the club? Was it 87, 88, 89 or 90?
89.
You're going with 1989, are you, mate? Are you sure?
Well, it doesn't matter because if I change my mind, you won't give me any.
No, I'm giving you, is that your final answer? Is that your final answer?
Do you know what? I can't remember if he was on loan before. I think he was. So I'm going to go 87.
You're going 1987? Is that your final answer?
Well, it's got to be, hasn't it, Dave?
Yes or no?
Yes, 87.
No, it was 1989. Unfortunately, you got it. You if you'd stuck with your first answer, you would have actually got it correct. So the keeper's sitting on his deck chair.
When Chelsea said Scotland, why didn't you say, are you sure, Chelsea? But no, Chelsea went Scotland. You went, yeah, well done, Chelsea.
I didn't put the seed of doubt
into her mind.
Listen, you're nil out of two, unfortunately. Lucas, which Wolves player scored a hat-trick on his debut in an away game against Birmingham City in 1992? Was it David Kelly? Was it Paul Cook? Was it Paul Birch? Or was it Darren Roberts? David Kelly, Paul Cook, Paul Birch or Darren Roberts? And you know this, don't you, Jason?
I know everyone that you haven't asked me, Dave.
Well, you did ask to go second.
Yeah, good point.
Lucas, I need to hurry you for an answer.
Paul Cook.
You're going with Paul Cook. Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
It's your final answer.
Yeah.
You're shaking it.
It's incorrect. Unfortunately, it was Darren Roberts. The keepers easily saved that. So Chelsea, to take the lead, which Wolves player, age 17, scored twice on his debut in an away game against Norwich City? Was it Steve Corica, Robbie Keane, Kevin Muscat or George Endar?
Can you say the names one more time?
Yeah, which Wolves player, aged just 17? I remember this well. I was going to pick up some brasses from Andrew Lemmer, listening to
it
down on the south coast. Which Wolves player, aged 17, scored twice on his debut in an away game against Norwich City in August 1997? Steve Corica, Robbie Keane, Kevin Muscat or George Endar?
Is it Robbie Keane?
You're going for Robbie Keane. Is that your final answer?
Yes, because I'm not going to be switched. Yes.
That is your definite final answer.
100%.
Correct answer. Jason can't beat you now.
I can't win by the sound of it.
Right, Jason, you need to get this correct. Otherwise, it's going to be an embarrassing 0 out of 3.
Go on then, Dave. Get me the hardest question you can.
I'll just read you the next question. It's how they fall. Which Wolves player scored on his debut away from home and then scored on a hat-trick on his own debut in the following game? Was it Kenny Miller? Was it Dean Sturridge? Was it Alex Ray? Or was it Sean Newton?
Dean Sturridge.
Is that your final answer?
Yes, yes, Dave. That is my final answer. I'm not going
to
change
it. Into my eyes. Is that your final answer?
Yes.
You sure?
I'm sure. If you say Kenny, yes.
He's got one. So, Lucas, to take this to a sudden death penalty shootout with your arch nemesis, Chelsea, you need to get this correct.
You know he doesn't.
Which Wolves player, a record signing at the time, scored on his Wolves debut against Everton in August 2018? Was it Johnny? Was it Raul Jimenez? Was it João Moutinho? Or was it Diogo Jota?
Raul Jimenez.
You're going Raul Jimenez?
It's confident. Yeah.
Correct answer. Okay. Here we go then. So, we move on, don't we?
I do.
Right. Transfer records, Chelsea. In July 2023, Wolves sold Ruben Neves for a reported £47 million, a club record at the time. To which club did they sell him? Was it A, Al Hilal? Was it B, Al Ittihad? Was it C, Al Nasser? Or was it D, Al Tai?
Can you say the options one more time, please?
Al Hilal, Al Ittihad, Al Nasser, Al Tai.
I think Al Hilal.
You're going, is that your final answer?
Yes. And Lucas is saying yes, so I'm going to guess it's true.
It's Lucas, correct.
That's not a good poker face, Lucas.
Lucas, in August 2022, Wolves bought Matheus Nunes for a reported $38 million, a club record at the time. Which club did they buy him from? Was it Sporting? Was it Estoril? Was it Sevilla? Or was it Barcelona?
Sporting.
Final answer?
Yeah.
Correct answer. So it goes on to the next round of sudden death. Chelsea.
I've got work tomorrow, Dave.
Yeah, well, you're ref. You could just, you're just, you know, last place.
I'm joking. So
you're like the water boy. You just got to sit on the water bucket and just literally.
I'm like the fourth official, aren't I?
You're the fourth official. In July 2019, Wolves bought Raul Jimenez for a reported $32 million, a club record at the time. Which club did they buy him from? Was it Porto, Benfica, Sporting, or Atletico Madrid?
Can you say the options one more time? Please.
Porto, Benfica, Sporting, or Atletico Madrid?
Benfica. Yeah.
Are you sure?
I think so.
Are you
Look
sure?
Look at Lucas's face now.
Is that a yes?
Yeah. No, yeah.
Correct. It's Sporting. So it goes on.
I can't get any more right than this. This is too many.
I know. What's going on? In January 2017, Wolves bought a player for more than £10 million for the first time at Lucas. Was it Helder Costa, Ivan Cavalero, Adama Traore, or Ruben Neves?
2019,
did
you say?
2017.
Helder Costa.
You're going for Helder Costa?
Yeah.
It is the correct answer. Well done. Crikey. It goes on further. In August 1999, Wolves sold Robbie Keane for a reported $8.1 million, Chelsea, a club record at the time. Which club did they sell him to? Was it Inter Milan? Was it Leeds United? Was it Tottenham Hotspur? Or was it Coventry City?
Coventry City.
Oh, my God. She's on fire, literally. literally on fire. Right, Lucas, September 1979, Wolves bought a player for more than $1 million for the first time. Was it Emlyn Hughes? Was it Mel Eaves? Was it Andy Gray? Or was it Paul Bradshaw?
I'm going to go with Mel Eaves.
You're going for the myth, the man, the legend. Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it is wrong. Jason?
Andy Gray.
Andy Gray. And that means that the winner of this week's quiz is Chelsea. You're the winner. Congratulations.
Well done. Well done, guys.
Everyone give a round of applause. That was an epic battle. I mean, I know you just had to sit and watch there, Jason. I'm sorry, but you're top. Jason's on VAR. So, you know, people clapping there. Fantastic. Guys, it's been a brilliant show. Thank you very much for listening. If you've enjoyed it, smash a like. If you're not already subscribed, please subscribe. I do want to say again a big thank you, of course, to Creation Wolf for powering the show. It'd be great if you could join us as subscribers, and hopefully loads more content coming up over the next week. Jason has unfortunately worn that retro top, and it's not been lucky for you, mate, unfortunately.
We've lost in it again,
but he has got plenty, so he will be back. And until the next one, from all of us to all of you, always Wolves.
Always Wolves.
Always Wolves.
Always Wolves.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates are already booked in for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.